It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game on a Tuesday right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. What's happening, party people? It's Gil Alexander, as I mentioned. Jason Kahn is here as well. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Gil. How are you?
I'm good. Much to say about that football game last night. And I was a holder of a Bucks ticket. So from the perspective of someone who actually lost, I thought it could have been a lot worse even.
Yeah, I had a Bucks ticket as well. And an under ticket, sadly.
That game said a lot about both teams. We'll get into that a little later on. Pete Futak here to talk college football. It's funny, you have to recalibrate. It's late December, so we have, late November, so we have Iron Bowl, the big game, stuff to talk about in college football. Obviously, the rankings come out. First of five rankings come out tonight. We'll talk to Pete Futak about that. Drew Dinsick from the Deep Dive podcast on the National Football League. And Las Vegas Chris making one of his, two or three appearances of the year on this show in studio to talk about. He's a multiple contest winner in town. He's won several handicapping contests through the years, and he's got suggestions for Survivor next year that are interesting. We'll talk to him about that. But let's talk college basketball to start the show. For those who have missed it, college basketball begins tomorrow. We will see in what form we get through this, but it begins with a bevy of games tomorrow. And let's talk to a gentleman who's making a rare numbers game appearance and one of the key cogs of the 2020-21 college basketball betting guide from VSiN. 357 Division I teams covered, 452 pages. He's the host of My Guys in the Desert right here on the network. Matt Youmans, good morning to you, Matt.
Hey, Gil. Great to talk with you again. And by the way, Las Vegas Chris is one of the sharpest guys in town, no doubt about that.
Oh, no doubt. You've probably known him longer than I have. Was he won the contest at the Palms? He's won Last Man Standing. He is definitely a multiple contest winner and certainly one of the sharpest guys in town. Can I just compliment you though?
Yep.
I know you're quick to compliment another. This college basketball betting guide, and I know it's a collaboration, but this is not only the best preview guide of any sport I've ever seen, but obviously from a betting perspective, it's the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Kudos to you guys. This is fantastic. Good job, man.
Wow, that's saying a lot coming from you. You know, it's a team effort. Obviously, it takes a lot of guys to work on that. You said it, 357 Division I teams. That's insane. And Greg Hoops Peterson wrote something on each team. I think he worked on this for months. And Steve Mackinnon and Point Spread Weekly staff did a great job putting together charts on each team. I mean, we've got basically a page on every team in that guide. So very thorough, but you know, that can't even begin to cover all the betting angles we're going to look at this season, because it's going to be a college hoop season like nothing we've seen before.
That's for sure. And you started, what I love about it too, is that it's super honest at the beginning. You write a little sort of intro at the beginning where you say there's three things you think you know for sure. Do you mind going through those three things about the season in general?
Yeah, there are three things I think that I recommended for bettors, like three points of emphasis. I said one is it makes a little sense to bet favorites on the futures board at this point, and I rarely do that anyway. I think at this point in the season, you have to look for long shots. But if you're betting favorites, you have to keep in mind, if you're inclined to bet favorites, that the team you bet on this month or in December might look completely different by March. Who knows if the tournament's going to be in March? Might end up in May. Rick Pitino's pushing for May. You know, you might have opt-outs. There's so many things that can go wrong in a season like this. I think it's very difficult to find value at the top of the futures board, which is why you're probably better off waiting. Now, I will say that Circa has put up a futures board that really does tempt you, because they put some odds up there. They're much better than you see at some other books. You know, a team like Virginia, 21-1, you're not going to find that at most places. I mean, there are teams that are like 8-1 at some books that Circa has at 20-1. You know, wow. So that's tempting. But still, I would not bet favorites at the top of the futures board. I also think we've seen this during football, college football season. You get late-breaking information that seems to create some great betting angles. We saw three of those in college football last weekend. All three backfired, right? So if you bet that information, you went 0-3. So mm-hmm. you're going to have situations where star players are ruled out on the day of the game. Teams will be forced to play shorthanded. There's going to be difficult travel situations. There's going to be all sorts of situations that pop up. You're going to think you're on to a great bet. Now, hopefully more often than not, that info pays off, but you have to be a little bit cautious because it can backfire. And we've all seen that here in college football season. And the third thing is, you know, when I'm looking at the screen last night and handicapping these games, I had to continue to train my mind not to think about the home court advantage with the team on the bottom, right? So you have to minimize home court advantages until we see otherwise. I think college basketball is definitely a home court sport, and I think the home advantage means more in college hoops than in any other sport. You know, fans influence refs and the outcomes of games. There's no question about that. But all that's kind of changed this season. You think about Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, Gonzaga, some of the teams with the strongest home court advantages. We're going to be watching Duke play home games with no fans in the arena. So instead of, you know, a 5-point home court advantage or whatever you might assign to Duke, it might be 1 point this season. So things like that you have to keep in mind when you handicap these games.
It's Gil Alexander. It's Matt Eumanns. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo's Lincoln Game Plus. College basketball starts tomorrow. And Eumanns and crew all over it. And yes, a shout to Greg Peterson, who is an encyclopedia of college basketball knowledge. Okay, late November 2018, you watched Texas Tech play twice. You bet them at 100-1 odds. They got all the way to the national championship, lost to Virginia in overtime. Last year in Maui, you had Dayton. You called it in 200-1. You were denied the chance because of COVID of getting to see how Obi Toppin and crew could do in the NCAA tournament. Now, obviously, you haven't seen anybody yet, and you just gave a very passionate and I think correct talk on why you shouldn't take any short shots here. But let me try to meld this together and say, if you were thinking about long shots right now, sight unseen, and there might be a squad or two out there that you're like, well, let me take a look at these guys to see if they might be the next Texas Tech or Dayton. Could you name a few of those squads?
Yeah, I could. I have not made a futures bet yet, so I'll be honest about that, because I like to see these teams play once or twice at least, and a lot of times you know, you read about a team, and what you see on paper might not be reality when you see the team on the floor. So I like to see what team strengths and weaknesses are, you know, how athletic teams actually are. And that's why I like to watch as many games as possible early in the season. You know, to be honest, last year when I put together my top 50, I had Dayton on the fringe of being in the top 50. I watched two games in Maui instead of bleep. I can't believe how good this team is.
Yeah.
And I seriously watched them the first day. I couldn't believe it. And then the second day, I was convinced. I said, they could beat Kansas tomorrow. And Kansas was the number one team. And obviously, that game went to overtime in the Maui Invitational Championship. So a lot of times when you see these teams on the floor, you get a totally different a view of a different picture of how good they can be. So I'm not jumping at any long shots yet, but I will say that there are a couple to jump out to me. And one is UCLA, and you don't think of UCLA as a long shot. It's been a while, though, since the Bruins have been very good. And Mick Cronin, in his first season, got off to a rough start. In fact, UCLA was in Maui last year and looked really bad. But by the end of the season, I think Cronin had his system in place. I think he's got his players now. The Bruins went 7-1 in their final eight games last year. This team's got perimeter shooting, size, depth. And they got a point guard in Tiger Campbell who's pretty good. I think this could be the Pac-12's top team. And right now you can find UCLA at 80-1. I think that's at the Westgate. Circa's got 70 and South Point's got 75-1. But UCLA is the type of team that could make a run at this. And that's one long shot. Another one is Memphis in the 100-1 range. And Memphis is going to be playing on opening night. Penny Hardaway, I thought he might end up being a joke as a college coach, but that really hasn't been the case. I mean, he went toe-to-toe with guys like Greg Marshall, Dana Altman, Rick Barnes, he actually held his own. I thought he coached a lot better than I expected. I thought he'd be, you know, an AAU type of coach, just roll the ball out there and let the guys play, and talent would take over. This Memphis team obviously lost James Wiseman. All that stuff's in the past. Four starters come back, but maybe the best transfer in college hoops, Landers Nolly from Virginia Tech, is added to that team. And Memphis is a shot. Like I said, anytime you get to that future, shop around. And Memphis is a long shot, I think, has a chance as well. Those are a couple teams I want to watch. I've got my power ratings top 50 in the VSIN College Hoops Guide. But those are two teams I'm looking at right now that I think have a shot as long shots.
Yeah, I'm looking at your top 50 rankings right now. You have Villanova at the top. UVA, the Hoos, Virginia's number two, and I see Jabri Abdur-Rahim is playing for Virginia. And Matt, this just lets me know how old I am. I was in the gym at Cal when Sharif Abdur-Rahim played his first exhibition game alongside Tony Gonzalez and Tremaine Folks and Jelani Gardner, and now his kid is playing at UVA. Good Lord. You've got them at number two. Gonzaga, Kansas, and Illinois finishing out the top five. I do notice Texas Tech at seven. Is Chris Beard pretty much player proof at this point? Like, no matter who's on the squad, obviously to some ridiculous extent, maybe not. But is he in your top two or three coaches in college basketball?
Yeah, there's no question. He's been in my top five for a year and a half. And you know, coaching is a big part of my preseason power ratings emphasis because, we don't have a lot to go by. A lot of these teams are completely different than they were a year ago. So you're banking on the coach. My power rating has a lot to do with the coach. And Chris Beard has a sky-high power rating. You know, John Beilein at Michigan was a guy I thought for a long time was the best coach in college basketball, but Beilein's long gone. And Beard kind of kicked his butt at the end of Beilein's tenure at Michigan anyway. I mean, you can almost throw any five players out there, and he's going to make that team competitive. But this team's got some big-time talent, too. They got a couple of guys who are going to be major impact players in the Big 12. And even though you don't know these names yet, this Texas Tech team's going to be legit. And, I've got Texas Tech at number seven. I think Tech is the best odds you get on Tech right now, about 25-1. But like I said, I wouldn't jump at odds like that. If you look at my top teams, Villanova, number one, Jay Wright, number two, Virginia, Tony Bennett, number three, Gonzaga, Mark Few, number four, Kansas, Bill Self. Brad Underwood at Illinois, I have number five. Underwood is a really underrated coach as well, and he's got two NBA guys. A.O. Tosunmu and Kofi Cockburn, who's 7 foot, 280 pounds, and he's a force. Any of three teams could win the Big Ten, Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin. Baylor's right up there. Duke is going to reload again. But those are the top teams I've got as of right now.
You're obviously allowed to change this as you see some games played.
Sure.
But why Villanova above the fray right now? Why Villanova at number one?
Okay, so you want to look for experience in the backcourt. Obviously, senior point guard Colin Gillespie is one of my favorite players in college basketball. What reminds me a lot of Ryan Arcidiacono on that Villanova national championship game. They've won two for Jay Wright in 2016, 2018. So you got a senior point guard, and I think this might be the nation's best backcourt, which is going to mean a lot. So you got an elite coach and an elite backcourt, which that's a great start right there. Aside from Gillespie, sophomore Justin Moore, he's a rising star. You got Brian Antoine, who's a former McDonald's All-American, who's looking to break out. And Caleb Daniels, a transfer from Tulsa. You see, you got four guards who can make plays. And then the front line's got enough strength, too. Jeremiah Robinson-Earl and Jermaine Samuels, very strong front line. So I think Villanova's actually got depth, talent, coaching, all the pieces to be number one. So even though you're going to see it preseason polls and a lot of publications rank Gonzaga number one, I think Villanova is more of a known commodity right now. So that's my number one team.
Talking to Matt Eumanns, one of the people behind the VSIN College Basketball Betting Guide, not the only person with his top 50. Greg Peterson, Wes Reynolds, Tim Murray, JVT. They've also got their top 50, although Humans goes in to more capsule form with his. Bruce Marshall, Josh Applebaum, Steve Mackinnon, all involved in this as well. If I'm forgetting anybody, I apologize. This is so great. What's the best conference, would you say, top to bottom? And if we have a standard March Madness, which is a big if, but let's just say we do, let's hope we do, who ends up getting the most teams in there?
Yeah, that was a crushing blow in March when the tournament got canceled.
Sure was.
I was depressed about that for a while. Yeah, you know, the Big Ten had a chance to get 10 teams in March, but I never really felt the Big Ten had that one elite team that was a threat to win the whole thing. This year, I would say the Big 12, just because it's got more national title contenders. I really believe Kansas, Texas Tech, teams like that. West Virginia, don't sleep on the Mountaineers. Bob Huggins has actually got one of the toughest front lines in college basketball again. Texas is going to be, for the first time, I think Shaka Smart's got a great shot to win an NCAA tournament game. Longhorn's got five starters back and experienced backcourt as well. Baylor, I don't want to leave out Baylor. I mean, that's an obvious national title contender as well. I right now, I would say the Big 12 is the best conference, Big 10 number two, and we'll see how good the ACC is. But I would rank that conference third as of now.
Wow. ACC third. All right. Let me ask you this. We have games starting tomorrow. Obviously, we have cancellations already. Not quite 10 games, but it's almost in double digits. We'll see this throughout the season. Mm-hmm. Before I get to if you have any picks, are you in the camp? Are you in the Patino camp that we should push this back? Or are you in the camp of, you know what, look at college football. We've sort of powered through it. We're going to need some weeks to fill in games later anyway. Might as well start this now and see how it goes so at least we have time to be flexible.
Yeah, I'm in the latter camp because we've seen with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten in football, starting late, you know, about 2 months late, really accomplished nothing, right? So now they're trying to play in right in the teeth of the pandemic, and it's not working out so well for the, you know, Wisconsin, it looks like, might not play a minimum number of games to qualify for the Big Ten championship in football. If that Minnesota game doesn't go off this week. So the Big Ten and Pac-12 have all sorts of issues. Why not start now, try to get as many games in as possible, and then hopefully by March you're ready to stage some sort of tournament. I really don't see the advantage of pushing things back, and I think, you know, Rick Pitino's point was countered by Seth Greenberg of ESPN, former coach, who said this is a time where you want to play, when you want to play, because the students are going to be away from campus, and it's like a semi-bubble for these college teams where you can kind of keep the kids out of trouble, and this is when you can schedule games and actually play and not have too many COVID issues. So I say play now, get as many games as you can. I would like to see the NCAA tournament expanded, but I know that's probably logistically going to be an issue, especially if you're trying to play the entire tournament in Indianapolis or in one location. So, yeah, start the tournament now. Hopefully by March, we're in a better spot, and you can get this thing in. I really don't see an advantage to trying to push this back. Do you?
I'm of the camp of if you're going to do this, I'm with you. If you're going to do this, might as well start. Now, the first part, if you're going to do this, I might have quibbles with, right? Like I think right. The whole thing is kind of odd, as I felt with college football.
Sure.
But yeah, if you're going to do this, start now, because it's not going to be better in a month. For sure, it's not going to be better. So I'm with you on that. By the way, before a couple picks, I don't know this about you. I know you watch a whole bunch of college basketball, and you're quick to call someone like Las Vegas Chris Sharp, but no one is sharper than you in college basketball, for real. Are you completely eye test, Matt, or do you rely on KenPom? How do you incorporate KenPom, if at all, to what you do?
No, that's a good question, because I have people ask me that a lot. And I do use KenPom quite a bit throughout the season. That's an awesome website, and there's so much information to be gathered on there about these teams when you're looking at offensive and defensive efficiency and tempo and everything. So I use KenPom a lot. However, Gil, I don't use KenPom in the first month of the season. I actually feel like the KenPom ratings are very unreliable early in the season. I go back to last year. I think when I was in Maui, I put up on Twitter a play on Dayton -2 over Virginia Tech, I think. And somebody countered on Twitter and said, Ken Pom's got Virginia Tech favored by 3.5. And I said, I don't care what Ken Pom's got in November, because a lot of those numbers are based on what happened last season. And they don't have data to go by on this season to make those numbers as strong as they should be. So I really don't look at Ken Pom in the first month. Once you have more data to go by and his numbers are stronger, then I start to look at him more and more throughout the season. But it's a combination of everything for me.
Yeah.
But I like to watch as many games as possible. And by the way, Dayton won that game by 27 over Virginia Tech last year. So the Ken Pom number didn't mean a thing. As far as games here in the first week, I've got a few plays if you want to talk about those. I don't know if we have time to get to them right now.
Yeah, let's say if you want to hang out for the short segment, 5-minute segment right after this, we can get to them.
Yeah, sure, we can do that.
All right, let's do that, because I know, Matt, your bedtime comes up, as you mentioned, at 7:30 a.m., so I want to hit that. I know we have a hard out that we have to get to. By the way, it just should be noted before we go to the break, Ken Pom himself would say what you're saying, correct? That it shouldn't matter early in the season. It's not a predictive tool.
Yeah, I think so, because I'm sure Ken Pomeroy would tell you that his numbers after a month are much better than they are this week, right? And that only makes sense, that the more data you have to go by, the stronger his ratings and every number he has on that site is going to be better after a month or two of games than they are today.
All right. We'll come back. We'll get Human's Picks, college basketball betting guide, 452 pages from VSiN, available as a one-time purchase for $9.99 or part of the holiday package at $99 or the one-year $258 VSiN package. All of this available at vsin.com. Check it out. Coming back, Human's Picks, the first couple nights of college basketball on the way, a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
With exciting college and pro football action every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of all the best games. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly, and if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander still to come. Las Vegas Chris, Drew Dinsick on the show, Pete Futak as well. Matt Human's kind enough to hang out with us for a few more minutes. Talking college basketball, which gets underway tomorrow. College basketball always catches me off guard. Doesn't catch Humans off guard, though. He's ready for it. And his crew with the College Basketball Betting Guide, certainly ready for it again. 452 pages, 357 ball clubs, all previewed. All right, Matt, any picks that you have in individual games here in the next couple nights?
Yeah, I've got four. Actually, for the first day, I've got four plays I'm going to make here. A couple I've made already, but I'll give you the rotation numbers first, because there's so many games on the schedule. You got to have the rotation number. 673, Texas San Antonio plus 15 over Oklahoma. This is Steve Henson, the coach of the Roadrunners, and Lon Kruger with the Sooners, obviously. And Henson played for Kruger at K-State, coached for him at UNLV in Oklahoma. So these guys are buddies. Kruger does not want to embarrass them, of course. But these guys like to get out and run up and down. It's going to be an entertaining game. Circa actually set the total at 158.5, which is pretty sharp, because I was hoping this total would open low 150s. It didn't. Javon Jackson was the number two scorer in Division One last year behind Marcus Howard of Marquette. Jackson averaged 26.8 a game. Keaton Wallace averaged 18.8. Texas San Antonio's got four starters back. It's a pretty talented offensive team. And I think they can give the Sooners a run here. Last year, these teams were tied at 37 at the half, and Oklahoma pulled away to win 85-67. So what I'm looking to do with this game is probably bet a half unit on the first half and a half unit for the game, because this is one where I can see San Antonio hanging in the half and maybe getting blown out in the second half, similar to last year. In that case, I'll split the unit on that game. But I like Texas-San Antonio plus 15. A lot of scoring potential with an underdog in that range. 685, I'm going to go UCLA minus 2.5. I already talked with you about how much I like the Bruins and how deep this team is. I really don't see a weakness with this team. And again, San Diego State is going to have no home court advantage in this game, even though the Aztecs are at home. San Diego State was 30-2 last season. You talk about the crushing blow, you know, that the a lot of teams suffer by not having a tournament in March. Dayton, San Diego State, Rutgers, teams like that really denied the opportunity. Aztecs won 30 games, but they lost the most important player off that team, Malachi Flynn, who's a great two-way player, one of the best in college basketball in terms of point guard that plays both ends. First-round pick by the Raptors, of course. He's really going to be missed. And I think San Diego State's going to regress. I know Blue Ribbon picked the Aztecs number one in the Mountain West, but I'm not sure they're going to be that good. Matt Mitchell, not really a leading actor in terms of what Malachi Flynn had to do for that team last year. I made the number UCLA 3. It opened 2.5. I was hoping it was going to open pick, but again, Circa made some really sharp numbers here. But I like UCLA minus the 2.5. And that one, and I'm going to go, let's see, next 717, Liberty plus 11. This game is in Florida. It's a tournament on a neutral. Liberty was 30-4 last season, the number two scoring defense in the nation, 53.8 points per game. Now, three starters are gone from that team, including Caleb Holmesley, who was the best player in the Atlantic Sun. But still, you still got some talent coming back. And Richie McKay does a great job, especially implementing that defensive system he's got. On the flip side, Purdue, the favorite in this game, is missing. It's probably its best backcourt player. Eric Hunter is not going to play. He's got a knee injury. That really hasn't been reported. I'm not sure many people know about that. So Hunter being out is going to be a negative for the Boilermakers. By the way, that team, Purdue, was one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country at home. And not very good shooting the three away, and this is going to be on a neutral again. So I think Liberty plus 11 is going to be a good dog. And I'm going to go with the other team I talked with you about, Memphis, 822. Circa opened Memphis minus 3. I made this number 7. Right now it's Memphis minus 5. And I don't think Randy Bennett's got much talent this season. Gil, I think Gale's take a step back. And again, Memphis is going to be a live long shot. Virginia Tech transfer Landers Nolley makes that team a real threat. So Memphis, okay, my fourth play.
Matt, appreciate it, man. Can't thank you enough.
You bet. Thanks.
Matt Eumanns, VSiN senior editor, host of My Guys in the Desert, Monday through Friday here, 2 to 4 Pacific. And of course, 2 to 4 Pacific.
2 A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Great to have Matt Eumanns on the show. No one sharper when it comes to college basketball.
I really learned a lot that segment.
He does other sports. Yeah, he does other sports too, of course, as he does every day on My Guys in the Desert, but no one sharper on college basketball. And again, for those who are like, okay, how do I get this College Hoops betting guide? It is out, and it is the perfect time to become a VSiN subscriber as well. You can get the massive in-depth guide to all the teams, conferences, and impact players for the unique college basketball season, or what should be a unique college basketball season. It has predictions, insights, stats, research. All of our VSiN basketball experts are included. You'll want to dive in before the first games tip off tomorrow. Get the Hoops betting guide plus everything VSiN has to offer every day of the basketball season and all year round at a 25% savings. Right now, sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. I did that Howard Cosell thing right there. Right there. I don't know what happened to me. How you doing, Jason? You good?
Yes, sir.
You like that he said UCLA was one of his squads, right?
I'm going to make that bet.
All right. You went to UCLA. You graduated from UCLA.
I graduated from UCLA. I was, I was there for 95 when they won, when they beat Arkansas.
Music. That's to your, the O'Bannon.
Yeah, the O'Bannon brothers, Tyus Edney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim, I forget the coach's name. Harvick.
Okay, that's good. That was your extent of your UCLA 95 knowledge right there. All right, last night in the National Football League, as you know, unless you were trapped under a heavy object, the Rams beat the Buccaneers. Did so as 4.5 point closing dogs in some spots, 4.5, somewhere in that pocket, depending on what shop you were at. They win it outright, 27-24. Rams beat the Bucs on the road. I had a Bucs ticket on primetime action. I had Bucs -4. I actually had an in-game on the Bucs as well. When they were down 7-0, they did take a 14-7 lead. But let me just say this as somebody who lost to these wagers, because the one thing that we like to be the hallmark here is that we're super honest about all the bets that I make on this show. And let me just say this about that game last night. I'm curious what your take is too, Jason. I thought that could have been much worse than it actually was. Like, I think my bet, even though it got really close, at least the money line in game to winning, I'll be honest with you. I thought it could have been really worse. There was a play early in this game when the Bucs were down 7-0. Right after the Rams went up 7-0, the Bucs got the ball back, and it was a third down. And they flagged, by the way, it was an incomplete pass.
Pass interference, I knew you were going there.
They flagged Jalen Ramsey for a PI where Mike Evans kind of just like ran into him, kind of.
It didn't look like offensive pass interference to me.
Well, no, it
didn't look like defensive pass. They were trying to say it was offensive. But didn't.
So I think that plays like that, like if the Bucs had come back and won that game, and I was saying this on primetime action on MSG Plus with Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin last night. And again, this is a guy holding a Bucs ticket, me. Even if the Bucs had won that night cashed, I would have gone back to that play and said, we don't often harp enough about moments like that in NFL games where I can't prove to you that it would have changed the entire outcome. But I'll just say this. If that flag doesn't get thrown, maybe the Rams build such a ridiculous lead anyway, it's not close. And remember, it's not too far off in the distant past here where the Bucs just got steamrolled by the Saints on Sunday Night Football. Now, there's other things in that game as well besides that flag. It's not just that one time. But I thought Sean McVay called a great game. Everything was underneath. Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods doing most of the damage. Cooper Kupp, like the targets were ridiculous in that game, but it was a great game plan. I'm not sure that Jared Goff threw one pass in the air beyond 20 yards, not one pass. So it was a great game plan, but in key high leverage moments, I thought the Rams kind of botched it. So early in the third quarter, I'm not sure it was early in the third quarter, but in the third quarter, when they had a third and short, they were matriculating the ball down the field. They had tempo. It was no problem. It was a third and short. They were already in field goal range. They run the ball right into Ndamukong Suh. And they're forced to kick a field goal. And Matt Gay, who was their kicker last night, because Sloman had gotten cut, and then Horbath hurt himself. So they end up with Matt Gay. He misses that field goal. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that wasn't a good decision on third down. You could almost see it coming that they were going to try to pick up that yard on the ground when everything else was going so swimmingly well. Then in the last sequence of the game, when the Rams could have salted it away, they had a very strange sequence late in the game where, like, on a 3rd and 8, they ran the ball. Do you remember that? And then the Bucs were going to get the ball back with time for Tom Brady to actually come back and try to tie this game up with a field goal. I just thought that was a strange sequence of play calls as well for Sean McVay. Now, I will say this, that, you know, Todd Bowles, we were saying on primetime action, everything was going underneath for the Rams. Todd Bowles is going to have to make adjustments. He can't bring the blitz. All the stats before the game were that Jared Goff was really good when not pressured, really bad under pressure. And the stats supported that. Well, he was getting about 40% pressure in this game in the first half. We were talking about this on primetime action again. And he was killing it. He was killing it in the first half. So Bowles did ratchet that back a little. And Goff threw two really bad, strange picks as well. So I guess you throw all of that in there, and the Rams still won this football game. And I'm just like, there's so many of those things where I'm like, if it's better play calling in key moments, if Goff doesn't throw the two miserable picks, and especially that flag early, which again, I'm kind of on an island with that kind of stuff where it's like, no, I can't prove to you the game would have been different, but I'm serious. It might have been totally different.
There were a couple pass interference flags, correct?
They were kind of flag happy in that game, period.
Yeah, early.
Yeah. But I'm just saying all those things, like, I think the Bucs could have gotten destroyed in that game, give or take a few other things. Now, the Tom Brady thing is probably the biggest takeaway from the Bucs side of it. Because even in making the Bucs pick last night, one of the things I said is, the only thing that I want to admit here is that the Bucs have not been good against top 10 defenses. And so we'll see what happens tonight. That's my one sort of concern. They weren't good. They weren't good again.
Brady looked uncomfortable in a lot of spots and was moving around and getting hit.
Here was the stats for Brady. On passes, and they flashed this up on the broadcast last night, on passes 15-plus yards downfield, 1 of 9 for two picks, and with two picks, pardon me, 1 of 9 with two picks, and those picks were bad.
They always feel like they're in there waiting to come out.
That last one, there's no way he couldn't have seen that safety. The safety was right in his line, and he tried to throw it downfield. It was terrible. And so 1 of 9 on 15-plus yards downfield passes?
He's not clutch.
Well, it's Tom Brady. Let's just say at 43 years old, there's no shame if his game has gone down. But I'm just saying, do you trust the Bucs now in the postseason? I guess the bottom line on all this is, could the Rams be the best team in the NFC? In a conference where, again, before the season, I have the Saints and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So I'm going to stick with that. But might the Rams actually be the best team top to bottom in the NFC after seeing that? The Rams D, for the first time, or for the second time in 10 games, does give up more than 3 points on defense in a second half. But Sean McVay extends his streak of halftime leads to 32-0.
That is an impressive statistic.
I don't know, man. That game was interesting from a lot of levels. We'll come back. Pete Futak, college football to talk about next on A Numbers Game at Visa and the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
New BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 wager on any Thanksgiving Day football game and a touchdown is scored in any of the games played that day. Sign up and use bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of the offer. Get ready for showtime. Download the app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 if a touchdown is scored on Thanksgiving. Any of the three games. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. As always, please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. Skill Alexander. Still don't know who I'm picking Survivor on Thanksgiving. No idea.
Maybe it'll come to you in a dream.
By the way, 3 lost last night on the Bucks. Down to 209 left in circa. 1,390 originally.
What do you think the number will be after the gauntlet? What do you think the number will be
after Thanksgiving?
Monday? What do you think the number will be after Monday?
Monday?
When we come back?
Less than 100.
Yeah.
We shall see. By the way, Megapod after this, you and I are heading over town for an early Megapod this week for Beating the Book podcast listeners. Chris Felica, the Bear, going to talk some pro football with us today.
So much fun.
Yeah,
looking
we're excited
to that.
About that. We'll head over to the D. All right, let's talk college football, though, with our buddy from College Football News. It's Pete Futak. Good morning to you, Peter.
And a good morning to you, Mr. Gill. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, Peter. I want to say thank you because you are so buttoned up today. What is this? You put on a button-down shirt?
I was never putting on trivia. I don't skip on the swank when I come on with the Gil Alexander.
Did you mean swag, not swank? Is that what you meant right there?
I'm not wearing
it's
pants.
Swag.
So it's sort of
pants
know,
not required.
Column A, column B here when it comes to this.
Hey, do you have a college football rankings fever yet? First of 5 tonight. The 5th is the only one that matters. Newsflash.
Yeah. We're getting there. I mean, it's always kind of fun because I'll throw a trivia question out there. Can you name the first ever number one team in the college football playoff rankings? And sub question, can you name possibly the top 4? And little hint, only one of them ended up making it. But it's a fun thing to start out with to get a snapshot. Just remember that this is not like the AP or the coaches poll or the old BCS, where when you have the rankings, they're kind of locked in and you go from there. This is just kind of a gauge on how the committee is feeling. And like you mentioned, all that matters is, did you win your Power Five conference championship? Did you go undefeated doing it?
It's
if
really
you
true.
Did that,
yeah,
you're probably going to get in. So back to the first question, for example, like Ohio State was 16th in the first CFP rankings and they ended up winning the whole thing. So just get to the conference championship, win it, and you're probably going to be in this thing. But, you know, there are some parts of this that are going to be interesting for future discussions, like where is Cincinnati going to be ranked? Where is BYU going to be ranked? And the gauge to see if the committee is on its game or not is going to be Louisiana. Because if Iowa State's ranked higher than the Raging Cajuns, like it is in the other polls, you're going to kind of know that, all right, they didn't really go through this as finely as they should. If they get this right, you really should have Louisiana and actually Coastal Carolina ranked ahead of all the Big 12 teams. But we'll see and move on from there after tonight.
Yeah, you should. By the way, right now, AP top 25, it's Bama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, A&M, Florida, Cincinnati, BYU. The coaches poll, not much different. Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, then Florida, Texas A&M, Cincinnati, BYU. How do you think these come out tonight?
I think Alabama number one, Notre Dame number two. Alabama, just because it's most dominant. Remember, there's no real hard and fast rules for any of this. The committee can pick anybody it wants to, but it also likes the eye test, and it goes by their own metrics. And remember, when they do this, they argue meticulously over each and every spot. So they'll argue over the number 25 team, number 24 team, and all the way up. So I think it's going to be Bama one, Notre Dame two. Then it gets kind of interesting, because where are they going to rank the Big Ten teams? Where are they going to rank the Pac-12 teams? Because they're not going to have the bodies of work that the ACC and SEC teams are. So I think it's going to be Ohio State number three. And if it's not, don't get into a twist. The Big Ten champion's going to get in this thing. And then Clemson. And the other thing to gauge tonight is, if the committee's on its game, is Texas A&M over Florida? I think they'll get that one right.
By the way, we can flash some of these up on the screen. These are not widely available, but there is a spot, one, I think, globally that has some of these props where you can actually bet on them, on these rankings tonight. I'm not sure what the limits are, but again, these are not widespread. What was the answer to your trivia question, by the way, Pete? What was the first team? I remember
Your Dak Prescott-led Mississippi State Bulldogs will forever be known as the number one team in the first college football playoff rankings. Also in that mix, Jameis Winston's number two Florida State team, the only other team to make it. Auburn and Ole Miss under Hugh Freeze. And weirdly enough, three teams from the SEC West got in, and not the one that actually did, which was Alabama, which ended up making the college football playoff, and those other three didn't.
By the way, that's the other one. You bring up Jameis Winston. I thought about that last night, too. It's like, would this Bucks team have been worse off with Jameis Winston last night? Just a random thought from the game last night as well. Okay, let's talk about some of the games this weekend. And there are games of intrigue for sure, and some intrigue for all the wrong reasons. Let's start with Penn State and Michigan. Ah, yes, traditional powers. 0-5 Penn State. 2-3 Michigan, and Michigan's wins once again this past weekend. It took overtime for Michigan to beat Rutgers. And of course, the first game of the season, they beat big bad Minnesota. We thought that was like a big win at the time. Not so much anymore. The Wolverines are 1.5, 2 point, somewhere in that pocket, favorites against the Nittany Lions. What say you here?
I say this is a bad game. Penn State 0-5 for the first time in the program's history. You're going back to the 1800s. Matchup of two teams where a theoretical discussion I think we've had before, but continue from there, is both of them made the exact same mistake this year, and it cost Penn State, almost cost Michigan. Very late in the game, score a touchdown to go up 7. I'm always a proponent of you go for 2 there and try to end it. Kick the extra point and you leave the door open. Indiana ended up beating Penn State because of it. Michigan almost loses to Rutgers because they didn't go for it. But these two teams just have had no real luck go their way. They haven't made their own luck. Penn State a whole lot more beaten up than Michigan is. I'm not going to say Penn State's quitting by any stretch, but Michigan's still able to kind of give it that college try. And they do that under Harbaugh. They kind of ramp it up. I think they've got their quarterback situation a little more settled. I'm going to go with Michigan, but man, this is the game that should have stopped the college football world this weekend. And it's crazy that this is such an also-ran game, but I'm going with Michigan in this.
Best game in college football on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, with apologies to Iowa State and Texas, because I am looking forward to seeing Breece Hall play once again. But Notre Dame and North Carolina. Notre Dame, 4.5-point favorites consensus at Carolina. Notre Dame undefeated, 8-0. Carolina, 6-2. Their only two losses by a field goal each at FSU, at Virginia. And keep in mind, this is a team that has scored in different games 59 points, 56, 56, and 48. Do you like the heels here catching the points? This is a good game.
It's dangerous, and it's still funny how the opinions vary across the board on this. And yeah, but you did mention the two losses. Yeah, they lost twice, close games. Florida State, awful.
Yeah.
Virginia, only sort of awful. But this is the scary one because you've got that passing game. You've got that offense that's so balanced, so good, so explosive. DJ Uiagalelei blew up for Clemson against this Notre Dame pass defense when Notre Dame finally played someone who was pretty good, and Clemson obviously very good. Now they get to play another team that's pretty good. I know a whole lot of smart people that are in love with the Tar Heels on this. I kind of think that this is where Notre Dame just sort of buckles. Again, they're not a sexy team. They're not explosive. They're not a whole lot of fun, but they've got the veteran quarterback in Ian Book, and they've got the lines. I think they just pound away. They are going to be the one team that are going to be able to stop this North Carolina running game. Remember, they held Travis Etienne to absolutely nothing in that Clemson game. I kind of think you're catching a little bit of a break here. Hope it gets to about four-ish because I think people are going to be piling on North Carolina, and then go with the Irish on this.
All right, final thing here, talking to Pete Futak from College Football News at Pete F-I-U-T-A-K on Twitter. We got 90 seconds on this. Iron Bowl. Auburn, Alabama. So weird to think we're at the Iron Bowl. It's the calendar just so messed up.
Doesn't feel like it.
Yeah. Bama, 24.5-point favorites in this one. They're 7-0. Auburn's 5-2. Auburn's two losses. One was to Georgia. No shame in that. The other one, shame, South Carolina. If you throw that out, though, God, it would be a great season. Sadly, you can't. What do you think here?
Although you have to also remember also they got the colossal break against Arkansas. They got the colossal break against Ole Miss.
They did.
But look, they've improved. Bo Nix has been better. Bo Nix has been a whole lot sharper. He's been a little bit better rhythm with his great NFL wide receivers. The difference here has to be that it's the Mac Jones game. Remember, Alabama dominated this game last year. But for that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Except for two Mac Jones pick sixes cost them that game.
Yes.
So if you've got to assume that Mac Jones is going to be sharper, he's not going to give up two pick sixes this time around. Najee Harris is going to have another big game against this Auburn D. I'm done picking against Alabama with this. I thought last week Kentucky was going to hang, and then they just had a light scrimmage against them. I'm going to go with Alabama in this, except it's sweating it out a little bit. Hope that line comes down a little. I'd like it at about 22-ish or so. But Alabama is just going to be too sharp. They haven't had a blip so far this year offensively, and that defense is starting to get a whole lot better than it was. Remember that they've got the stigma against them this year. The defense isn't all that great because of that Ole Miss game earlier this year. They've pretty much stuffed everybody ever since. Auburn is really just that good, but I think the 24 take it with Alabama and that offense.
All right, Pete, you must either answer to this question in the waning seconds, Mac Jones or Kyle Trask. Who is your current Heisman winner?
You know, it's around here. It's Heisman elect Kyle Trask. We've talked about it. He's playing up Joe Burrow numbers. It's Kyle Trask to lose.
Heisman elect Kyle Trask from Pete Futak. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it.
There you go.
Pete Futak, College Football News. Great website at Pete, F-I-U-T-A-K. Coming back, Drew Dinsick, Whale Capper from the Deep Dive Podcast, and also VEASAN, talking NFL with us. I got questions next right here on the Numbers Game at VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.